What's up, guys? We are back, your High Street Freaks. As always, I am here with Ryan, and we are here to talk about hoops in, a stunning turn of events. I think we are in our delusional hoops fan era. We are the whole podcast is going to be basically the meme where the guy has all of the map, the conspiracy theorist map behind him. I don't know what show that's from. Do you know what show that's from? Do you know what meme I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's from It's Always Sunny.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have watched three episodes. People are going to be DMing me about, like, you don't watch Always Sunny? No. And
people watched really like three episodes.
A lot of people love Always Sunny.
There's too many sitcoms. We don't need that many sitcoms.
Yeah.
There's too many sitcoms going on, and I can't watch all of them, and neither can any of you.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, like, if you choose, like, three, you're like, sorry, man, like, those are the three that I chose to watch. Like, you know, I don't have that much time, you know.
As long as one of them's not Friends, your choice is okay with me.
Yeah, I have not. I tried to watch Friends. I got, like, through, like, three seasons or whatever. I think sitcoms do this thing, too, where they get, like, dated really easily. And so, like, if you're not, like, I don't know, if the sitcom doesn't apply to you, like, there's so many. Friends especially is one of those that's like, none of these plots work if you just had a cell phone. Like, at least like half the show revolves around them not being able to communicate and like missing each other and stuff like that. It's like, yo, doesn't work for me. I can just shoot a text and we're good. So I don't know. I think a lot of older sitcoms are just ruined by modern technology. So.
It's true. You can tell the timeless ones, the non-timeless ones pretty easily, but
yeah,
I mean, like Seinfeld still holds up great. There are definitely cell phone episodes, but I don't know, like it's of its time. But yeah, It's Always Sunny. I like it well enough. I never watched the whole thing. I'm not a completionist, but it does seem funny. I really need to watch 30 Rock in full. Like,
I haven't seen an episode of 30 Rock.
It's very funny. Like, I have a few friends who are very into it. And the episodes I've watched, I do find it hilarious, but I never watched it in full. It's just really hard to commit to like a 14 season sitcom.
Yeah, man. No, I get that.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, like the ones I want to see in full, like I've watched a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I started like in the middle seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch the early stuff. So I would like to go watch all of that. I never finished Arrested Development. I got like three seasons in. I don't know. It's Always Sunny, 30 Rock. I got into the first two seasons of Community and never finished that.
Same.
Yeah. The outstanding ones for me. Yeah.
I was stunned at how good Schitt's Creek was. I don't know if you ever watched that. I
know of it, but I never watched it.
Yeah. I tried to watch it at first and I got like two episodes in and was like, I can't do this. Like, this is horrible. Like it just wasn't clicking for me. And then I gave it another try. And it was legitimately hilarious. I really liked it. The whole premise is like rich city people go to move to this like unbearable small town. And it's very funny because you can empathize with like both sides of the whole thing. I don't know. It's very funny. But yeah, man, we're not talking about sitcoms today. We are talking about Buckeye basketball because we, as I mentioned, have concocted the scenario or several scenarios where Ohio State makes the NCAA tournament. We have just done all of the work of going through all of the teams that need to lose, the rooting interests and all of that. So you have something to care about throughout March. I guess the caveat here is that if Ohio State loses to Rutgers on Sunday, all of this is fucked. So just take all of this with a grain of salt. Because Ohio State has notoriously been bad at winning on the road. And all of this revolves around Ohio State winning a game on the road. So we'll see how that goes. But the good news is it's not until Sunday. That game isn't until Sunday. So you've got a whole lot of time, even if they are going to lose that game, to pretend that everything's fine. So that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also, hasn't Rutgers kind of shit its pants lately?
Oh, they're horrible. I think they're the second worst team in the league behind Michigan. So if Ohio State just beat Michigan by what, 30? Hypothetically, there's a buffer. I think Ohio State should be fine. But
yeah,
you never know.
At that point, they'd have won 5 of 6. Like they're I don't know. They're definitely playing way better right now than they ever did under Chris Holtmann this season, which is
good. Very funny. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very funny. But I don't know. I think we're going to talk about some other tournament teams and how the context could affect Ohio State. What do you think we need to see from Ohio State to feel like, hey, when this Big Ten tournament's done, they're in no matter what? Obviously, aside from winning the whole thing, which is very unlikely. Yeah. What do you think they need to do over, you know, the next couple weeks to solidify their bid?
I think Ohio State needs 3.5 more wins. And by that, I mean, if they get 3 wins, they're not looking great. Right,
3.
Yeah. If they get 3, I don't think they're out. But they would need some help. They'd need some teams to lose. If they win 4, I think they're in almost regardless of what else happens. Because 4 would also mean probably beating like a Purdue or an Illinois or somebody like that. And I think that would push them over the top. So they have to beat Rutgers. If they don't beat Rutgers, like that's going to be a big problem. They're probably going to need to find
three or four
wins in the Big Ten tournament. If they do beat Rutgers, that's one win. And I low-key think like Ohio State's is kind of flirting on that range of not playing on Wednesday and getting the bye in the Big Ten tournament. I low-key think it would be better for Ohio State to not get the bye and have an extra team to beat to improve their resume rather than getting a bye and having, you know, one or two games. But I think either way, there would have to get like the best case scenario that where I think Ohio State would be feeling pretty good is if they don't get the bye, they win Wednesday, Thursday, and then beat the higher seeded team, which is probably Purdue on Friday. And that gives them 4 wins with a win over Purdue. It's like the icing on the cake. I think that gets them in. If they beat Rutgers, then win 2 games in the Big Ten tournament, like Wednesday, Thursday, they probably need some help. If they beat Rutgers, get the bye, win 1 game in the Big Ten tournament, that's even worse in my mind, and I think they need help there too.
Yeah, there's just so much that's still open, right? So Ohio State's like best case scenario now is going 9-11 in the Big Ten. Like they're currently behind. I mean, Indiana is 8-10. Then you have Michigan State and Minnesota are both at 9-9.
Yeah.
Penn State's also at 8-11. Those are the teams that basically Ohio State is jockeying with for seeding, right? No one below Penn State or above Minnesota can come into play. So it's this group of like 5 teams that are still jockeying for spots here. Michigan State still, they play Northwestern tonight at home and Indiana on the road on Sunday. Minnesota plays Indiana at home tonight and Northwestern on the road on Saturday. You have Indiana plays again, Minnesota on the road tonight, Michigan State at home on Sunday. Penn State has 1 game left at home against Maryland. Really, like, I think Penn State's probably not going to pass Ohio State, right? That's pretty unlikely.
Right.
So I think Ohio State won't go lower than the 10 seed. But Indiana has 2 tough games left against teams seated above them. Indiana could drop below Ohio State. Ohio State could maybe be, I don't know. Like, these teams all play each other, so there's going to be some level of balancing out between the 3 teams ahead of them.
Right.
I don't think Ohio State gets higher than the 9 seed in the tournament. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree with that. I do agree with that. And I think, I don't know. Like I said, I think that the seeding in the tournament is like somewhat inconsequential. Like I almost want them to be lower so that they can get an extra winnable game and add to that resume. Like it's getting to the point where like a bye doesn't help you as much as playing. So like obviously that's out of Ohio State's control. They just have to beat Rutgers, yeah, and then hope that things fall. But like I really think playing that earlier game is probably more helpful than not.
Well, can they even, because let's see, Penn State played Ohio State once and lost. So unless Penn State beats Maryland, which I'm very dubious of, they're both mid teams, but I'm pretty dubious of that. Unless Penn State beats Maryland and Ohio State loses to Rutgers, I think they're locked in for getting a bye.
I don't think so. I think maybe that switched Okay, you could be right. You could be right.
Because the teams that don't get a bye are 11 through 14.
Yeah, that's true.
And Ohio State would have to lose and have Penn State win to drop to 11. At which point, if they lose to Rutgers, they're probably done anyway, unless they like beat Illinois or Purdue, which I get what you're saying. But like,
yeah,
you're better off, in my mind. Like, yeah, look, it's two harder games to play in the tournament if you play the 7 and the 2 or the 8 and the 1. That's obviously very difficult. But I don't know. Like, maybe the best case scenario here is drawing Michigan State because they're a Q1 team, right? At any level. Would Minnesota be? No, Minnesota is like firmly Q2. So really you want to play, and Indiana is like barely Q2. I think they're actually even Q3 at this point. So really, like, Ohio State should hope either they're a better basketball team to draw Michigan State for the resume.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. So I just pulled
up a scenario where if you beat Rutgers and Michigan State, there's a scenario where losing to Purdue or Illinois doesn't eliminate you. And if the right things happen contextually around the country,
right,
you can get in with just those two wins.
Right.
But obviously you don't feel great, right? You really love to beat Illinois or Purdue.
Right. So I did just look. Matt Hackman, he does a lot of like projections for Big Ten tournament seeding or all of the tournament seedings. He has Ohio State at a 50-50 chance whether or not they get a first round bye as of last night, after all the games last night. So basically Ohio State has a 12% chance, well, a 2% chance of getting the 13 seed. That's not going to happen. This is Indiana. I lied. Okay. This makes more sense. A 12% chance of, or a 27% chance of getting the 12 seed, a 23% chance of getting the 11 seed. Both of those would not give it the first round bye. And then they have a 19% chance of getting the 10 seed and a 31% chance of getting the 9 seed. So basically they have the highest percent chance of getting the 9 seed, but a 50% chance of getting a 11 or 12 seats. So it's like a coin flip whether or not they have the first round bye. So it's not out of the question yet that they could end up on that side of the bracket.
But if we assume they beat Rutgers, then I assume that like there's
it not goes a up a lot. It would go up a lot. Yeah. So that's true.
Yeah. Rutgers has stunk up the joint.
So you would think.
Rutgers. Let's see. I mean, they've lost 4 of their last 5. Their only win is against Michigan.
Right. So to your other point, Adam Jardy had this literally 2 minutes ago as recording this podcast. It popped up on my Twitter feed. The Big Ten teams that would count as quad one opportunities in the Big Ten tournament based on their current NET rankings, Purdue, Illinois, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, believe it or not. So if Ohio State can draw any of those teams in the Big Ten tournament, I think Nebraska might drop out of that if they lose tonight. That's tough to tell. They're definitely on the mix of that quad one opportunity. But Wisconsin, Michigan State, Illinois, Purdue, all of those would be quad one wins in the Big Ten tournament. And I think if Ohio State gets one quad one win, I think they're probably in.
That feels correct to me intuitively, especially because some of the bubble teams are starting to fade.
Yep.
It really, I mean, look, the part about college basketball is so hard. It's not like the even the 12 team playoff will be in college football, where it's like you can look at a couple of different variables and it's like, well, hey, if X happens, then Y. Like, there's just so many things left to happen, right? Like, there are, I should probably count these beforehand. There are 9, 12, 15, 18. There are 20 leagues that are definitely one bid leagues, no matter what, right? In terms of this tournament, that's 20 spots. The West Coast Conference is definitely a two-bid league. So that's 22 teams. If James Madison doesn't win the Sun Belt, I think they have a chance again as an at-large. It'd be tricky depending on what Ohio State does. You'd really like to see James Madison win. That'd be 23. The MVC is tricky because you have Indiana State, Drake, and Bradley. Bradley is probably not getting the tournament unless they win, right? But if they do win the tournament, there is a world where Indiana State and Drake could both be at large. I just think it's pretty unlikely. I think the MVC is at most a two-bid league, but who knows how things break down. You would love to see one of Indiana State or Drake win the Missouri Valley, and definitely Indiana State's the preference there. Then the AAC has Florida Atlantic, USF, Memphis, and SMU competing. I think SMU is almost certainly out. Memphis seems like they have an outside shot. They're like an outside bubble team on a lot of lists, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying that. USF is ranked and has won like, what, 15 straight, I think, or something like that. And FAU is just a strong team that obviously has a track record and probably right. preference towards them. I think the best case scenario here for Ohio State is that, is this crazy that USF wins the tournament because FAU may have a weaker at large?
You
definitely want to see Memphis get
definitely hurt. Memphis needs to be out. Memphis needs to be out there. Yeah, that would be a problem for sure. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, if here's what I'll say: if the AAC and Missouri Valley combine to have three total bids, you're feeling a lot better. That would put us at 26 bids spoken for so far from what we've gone through. If James Madison wins the Sun Belt, then the A10, you really want to see Dayton win because they're probably not large if they don't get it, if they don't win the tournament. Yeah. So that's 27. Then you get into the power leagues. So, okay. This is probably very tedious as a listening experience, but I don't care. It's our podcast.
It is what it is. Come on.
Yeah. Okay, Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky, Florida are locks no matter what for the tournament.
Yeah, I think Florida just got themselves in last night or the night before. So, yeah.
So that's 32 teams. Then I think Ole Miss and A&M are out. I think they're done.
I think so, too. I think Ole Miss just played themselves out with that loss to Georgia.
Yeah, then you have Mississippi State and South Carolina as contenders. So we're 32 in, two bubble from power leagues. The Pac-12, the only team for sure, and I think is Arizona. And then you have Wazoo looks pretty likely. Colorado, Oregon, and Utah are all bubble teams, could go either way, and they all play each other.
Back to the SEC, I think South Carolina's probably in. I don't think they can play themselves out. Just looking at the teams that are below them and I think they're probably in. So you can count that as
three in, one bubble. Yeah, 33 in, one bubble. Arizona makes 34-1. Wazoo, we can call them in, 35-1.
I think they're probably in.
And then Colorado, Oregon, Utah, bubble. So 35-4. The Mountain West is fucking sick. They are so fun to watch. I've started actually watching basketball the last couple weeks. The Mountain West is great. San Diego State, Boise State, Nevada, UNLV, Utah State, and Colorado State could all make the tournament. Like there are scenarios where that happens.
Yeah.
I would bet five of those six make it. I bet they don't get a six bid league. So call that 40 plus four.
Sure.
Right? Is that okay? Just for math's sake. The B1G, you definitely have Purdue, Illinois, Wisconsin in. That's 43-4. And then Sparty, Nebraska, Northwestern, Ohio State, and Iowa are all still competing for spots.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, what did I just say? I say 40 and
four,
40 and nine now. So it's 40 and nine with those teams.
Yeah.
You have 40 and okay. We're 49 going to the Big 12. You have, Houston, Iowa State, BYU, Baylor, and Kansas all for sure in the Big 12, which makes it 45-9. Then I think Texas, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma all look likely. So 48-9. With TCU as an outside shot. Is that fake? Mm-hmm. You disagree with me? Or are you?
No. You're right. I'm just reading.
Okay.
I'm reading. Yeah, you're good.
So 48, and I would put TCU behind Ohio State probably. So I'm not worried about them for now. So we're at 48-9. The Big East has UConn, Creighton, Marquette all for sure in. That's 51-9. Then Villanova and St. John's look pretty good on the bubble. So that's 51-11. And then Xavier, Providence, and Seton Hall are all still in the game.
Yeah.
So that's 51-14. The ACC has Duke, UNC, and Clemson, which makes it 54-14. Pitt and Virginia are on the bubbles, 54-16. I think Wake is out.
I think so, too.
It feels like there are probably 70 teams ahead of Ohio State and a couple others that could be problematic.
Seems like about right. They
could definitely play their way in, right? You get a couple key losses here and there.
Yeah.
You pick up three more wins, or the two right wins.
And
in Michigan State. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it, because we're talking about this, and I promise if you Google any like bracketology thing, Ohio State's not going to show up in any of these, like any of these projections or any of these conversations. Like, they haven't even cracked like the next four out scenario.
Yeah.
Yet. But I think what we're thinking is just like looking at the teams that Ohio State's going to have to play, how Ohio State's playing right now. I think it's going to be a different story after this week shakes out and if Ohio State beats Rutgers. Because if you go through and look at a lot of these bubble teams, so like, for example, I'd say right now, just in the Big Ten alone, Michigan State, Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern are probably ahead of Ohio State. But Northwestern and Michigan State play each other. And I think that's kind of like a survive and advance sort of situation in that game, especially for Northwestern. If Northwestern loses that game, I think they're toast. Nebraska, that's they play Michigan. They'll be fine. Their next game's against Michigan. I think they're going to beat Michigan, though it is on the road. Maybe Michigan can pull an upset. If they lose to Michigan, they're toast. Iowa and Illinois. I mean, if Iowa loses to Illinois, if Iowa beats Illinois, that's a huge like mark towards like getting in.
Ohio State, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they lose to Illinois, which is very likely, I think they're probably out too. So there's a lot of these like shit can change really quick. And Ohio State kind of has a benefit here of just being able to sit around and watch for an entire week, basically, until they play on Sunday, because they go Sunday to Sunday. Like they last played on Sunday and they're going to play again on Sunday this week. So a lot of stuff can happen between now and Sunday with a lot of teams getting eliminated. Like if Ohio State just keeps winning, I think they're kind of sitting pretty in a really good spot just based on the teams that have to lose based on a lot of these games.
Yeah. Also, I'm reviewing ESPN's bracketology thing really quick here. They disagree with us on TCU. They have them as a for sure in.
Really?
Which is crazy. Yeah. And they also have Kansas State as a bubble watch team.
Okay. Well,
it feels nuts. Yeah.
I feel like TCU could still play themselves out, but I guess I'm decidedly not a college basketball person. Like, I think most people have them as like a 9 seed ish.
Yeah.
But
also I can't believe that Seton Hall is still being considered a serious bubble team by some people after losing by 30 points to UConn.
Yeah.
I'm skeptical. I'm very skeptical of that.
It's weird. I was just me and Ryan were just talking about before we started, like, I always say, like, I just want football. The metrics for football, or like the selection for football, to be more consistent and more objective. And then I'm looking at like basketball with all these like quad one, quad two, quad three wins, and like just the NET rankings and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, actually, this kind of sucks, because like I can tell you that Seton Hall doesn't belong in this field, but like, just watching the games, I can tell you that Seton Hall is not a NCAA tournament team, but their resume might get them in. I don't know. I think it just gets hairy when you have like 68 teams instead of like 10 that you're actually doing this for.
It gets very nuts. And I mean, also, we're like doing all this for like knowing Ohio State will probably lose its first or second game, but it's fun. It's fun to root, right? It's fun to have something to root for.
Yeah, man. I just want them to get out of the first weekend, because that'd be exceptionally funny.
Yes. Yeah, it would be. Other teams we overlooked here. I don't think we missed anyone major. It does have a world where Princeton gets in if they don't win their tournament. Which is interesting. That'd be bad for us. This is ESPN. It also has Memphis as a team that's like still consistently on the bubble, but has a chance. They also don't consider Oregon as highly as we did. That's good news. I don't know. Kansas State's in the mix. Syracuse, it has listed here, but I think Syracuse is out. Goddamn. Basically, what I'm saying here, and I think what we're coming down to, is if Ohio State beats Rutgers, and ideally, right, ideally draws Michigan State. We still agree that's the ideal draw here.
Yep.
They can't play Wisconsin. They can't play Nebraska. You know, I don't think like a lot of the other teams they could get, I don't think are that are Q1 wins are going to be possible. So you want Ohio State to draw Michigan State to beat them and Rutgers. And then, damn, I mean, at that point, you'll know whether or not you need the win over Purdue or Illinois to advance.
Yeah. Yeah. And I honestly, like, the more I think about it, the more I think they'd probably be fine with Rutgers opening game, Michigan State. Like, I think you would probably be fine with those three wins. Like, I think it would be fine. Definitely would be fine. It is insane as it sounds. I don't even think they'd really be on the bubble anymore if they beat, if they had four wins in this scenario. If you go, if you get, if you beat Rutgers, have an opening win in the Big Ten, and then beat Michigan State, and then go and beat like Illinois or Purdue after that, you're in. I don't even think it's really a discussion anymore. Like, I think you're
100%.
In.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
So the clearest path.
Three, right. If they win three, they're in.
Yeah. I know. So, like, I know that it's an improvement from last year, because last year, Ohio State had to win the entire Big Ten tournament to get in. This year, if they win, if they get to the semifinals, they're in. I don't think there's a question.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'd be a lower seed. You're probably in the play-in games, very likely, no matter what. Right.
Yeah, that's fine.
World where Ohio State gets out of playing games, whatever.
It's
who
fine.
Cares?
Give it to me. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's better than it has been. Shit, yeah. I like Ohio State's chances at a play-in game and winning three games to get out of the first weekend than Chris Holtmann winning two to get out of the first weekend. So,
I agree. So, basically, we're rooting against A&M, Colorado, Utah, UNLV. There's a couple of teams here. Hang on. I'm losing my brain. Rooting against Drake. You're rooting against New Mexico. New Mexico is on the shit list. We're rooting against Iowa. Yep. Against TCU.
Pitt.
Against Villanova, St. John's, Pitt, Virginia, Xavier, Providence, Seton Hall.
let's simplify this, and I'll give you something. I'll give you teams to root against over the next 2 days. The next 2 days, you want to root against. That one's tough. We'll do Mississippi State. They play Texas A&M.
Yeah, rooting for Mississippi State. Yeah.
Well, I guess, okay, that doesn't matter.
A&M's closer in proximity to us. It's fine if Mississippi State's a lock for A&M.
Yeah. Either, yeah, okay.
That's probably not passing Mississippi State no matter what.
I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's true. New Mexico needs to lose. They can lose to Fresno State. That game happens tonight. What's another game that happens tonight? Okay, Northwestern, Michigan State. You probably want Michigan State to just go ahead and win this game. That kind of gets rid of Northwestern, and it helps Ohio State if they beat Michigan State. Like, I think that's your best case scenario there. Seton Hall happens tonight. You want Seton Hall to lose to Villanova, get them out of here. Unfortunately, Villanova is also technically a bubble team, but I want Seton Hall gone.
And also, I think Villanova is a lot likelier than Seton Hall at this point.
Maybe. The problem is that Seton Hall's actual resume is like perfectly fine. It's just that they've shit the bed recently. I don't know. That's tough. But yeah, I guess looking at the quad,
almost a no inch, almost like a just let them fight game.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. And then the next day, you've got Colorado, Oregon. That's another one, man. See, that's the thing, is like a lot of these are just games between bubble teams. Like, cause Colorado, Oregon, both of those are technically bubble teams.
Yeah.
It's tough to tell what's going to happen there.
Less likely today. I think Oregon's lower on most of the cut lines than Colorado is.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that Colorado kind of gets in no matter what based on their net ranking. They're 30th in net ranking. 31st,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So maybe you just want to see Oregon lose to eliminate that team. But then we're getting to a dangerous point here. We're rooting for all like a few teams ahead of Ohio State by a good bit. But maybe that's fine. Like maybe you don't expect to catch Colorado or Villanova, and you want to just see like the path cleared in front of you a little bit, so it's simpler.
Right.
Like I think what we're rooting for, maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, my interest is if Ohio State can beat Rutgers or Michigan State, how can they get in? That's what I'm rooting for in these games.
Yeah.
Where yeah. We don't need Purdue or Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just clean and like some guys separating away or some teams separating away from the pack. You don't want it to be murky. If you can just get rid of like, because what did we say? There's probably 70 teams ahead of Ohio State right now. Or what was the number that we came up with?
I think it was close to 70, 71, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously there's 68 spots. So like you just need a few of those teams to just decidedly get out of the mix there. And
yeah,
it's not as far off as you think it is. And that's 70, 71 teams, assuming Ohio State takes care of business. Again, if Ohio State loses to Rutgers, this path gets a lot murkier. Then they probably would have to beat Michigan State and Purdue in the Big Ten tournament and probably need help. So we're not going to discuss that. We're just going to really assume that Ohio State beats Rutgers and that's what it is. But yeah, at least it gives us something to do in March, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Any other games coming up we're looking at, or I think I had a few others. I had a list at one point. Let me check mine. For March 6th. You mentioned Michigan State. You mentioned New Mexico.
I guess tomorrow, Utah, Oregon State. It'd be cool if Oregon State took care of Utah.
Also, TCU at WVU. It'd be good for Ohio State if TCU lost that game because WVU is not making the tournament.
Yeah.
I don't think that's very likely. But you can root for it.
Right.
Yeah. We'll see. It'll play out. Kevin, you and I are talking a little more basketball stuff here. We're talking about Dusty May in a second. Before we do that, we forgot to tell people where we work at.
we did. We believe it or not, have a website together called meetatmidfield.com along with our friend Patrick Mayhorn. You know, we write about ball, we talk about ball, both balls. What shape is a football, would you say?
Oblong.
Oblong. We talk about oblong balls along with round balls. Mostly oblong balls, though, admittedly.
Yeah.
But I think we are very proud of the community that we have surrounded ourselves with. Not really ourselves. We're proud of the people that we attracted to our website. Our board, I think, is the best on the internet. Genuinely very smart people who are willing to actually watch sports, actually pour themselves into, you know, learning things and being knowledgeable and having informed opinions on things. And that's really not something that you find on really any corner of the internet these days. So really proud of the community that we have there. And me and Ryan also do some work. We are writing stuff. We're doing premium podcasts. We're going to have a premium podcast edition of this High Street Freaks pod right after it's going to be published, you know, in conjunction with this one. But yeah, man, I'm really happy about meetatmidfield.com. It's kind of in its, we're heading into its, I guess this is its second, third year. It's third year. Damn.
Third year. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. We will be heading into our third year. So we've accomplished 2 years in August, I believe. We've had definitely had some changes, some growing pains as we figured out what it is, but at the core of it, it's just guys that like talking about football, and we do it for fun, and we'd invite you to come and hang out with us as we do it. So if you have not gotten aboard yet, head over to meetatmidfield.com, create an account, and you know, come hang out with us.
Oh yeah, and you can also support us by purchasing Homefield Apparel, which is our sponsor. Homefield is the internet's best vintage collegiate apparel. If you are an Ohio State fan, want Ohio State gear, it's the best around. They are fantastic. If you are also just looking for, you know, you're looking for, you know, maybe bubble teams we're talking about, you want to root for a certain team to eliminate a bubble team, you can buy their gear as well. They have, I mean, hundreds of schools on there. They just dropped a sick collection in remembrance of the 79 championship game between Indiana State, Michigan State.
That's awesome.
They had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the white boy for Indiana State, on there promoting that. They just dropped a Lady Vols jacket. That's nuts. If you're a Tennessee fan and still listen to this podcast for some reason, or you have dual loyalties. I know we do have a Michigan-Tennessee crossover fan on our board.
Yes. Yes.
Will.
There's an Ohio State-Tennessee crossover that I know listens to this pod too.
Sports account 69. Is that him?
Yeah.
Also, by the way, if you subscribe, sometimes we'll just say your username on here. Get you some Twitter followers.
Yeah. yep. That sucks. Sorry. But yeah.
Yeah. Too bad. but home field apparel is great. They have the best gear around, whether you want jackets, shirts, hats, sweatshirts, joggers. They really do have all of it. It is awesome. I've gotten gear for myself, for my family, for my girlfriend, for a couple friends. It is really fantastic gear, and I highly recommend getting some for yourself. If you want to get 15% off and you've never purchased before, you can get that 15% off your first order with the code Meet at Midfield. If you purchased it before, just send them a note in the comments that we sent you. Let them know it's from us. And go buy Homefield.
Yeah, man. So I heard Ohio State's getting a new coach. And that's the rumblings here. I think last time we spoke, we did talk about Ohio State. Kind of the big board, the search. I think we keyed
it's
in
really
on
narrowed in. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we keyed in on last week. I think 11 Warriors, Garrick over at 11 Warriors reported that it was Ohio State seemed the front runner seemed to be Sean Miller seemed to be the front runner from what I am hearing. And I don't know. There aren't a lot of like super plugged in people in college basketball. Like that sucks, but that's just kind of the way it is. The message board culture just doesn't exist in the same way. It's just the interest.
Seven schools.
For like seven schools. So there just aren't a lot of like tea leaves to read, unless you like know people. So what I have been hearing from people who know things more than I do, is that I would feel pretty good at this point predicting that it would end up being Dusty May. That's not like a report, like Ohio State's hiring Dusty May. That's not even like a me definitively saying that Dusty May is their guy or whatever. I just think from what I have heard, from what people who know more than me and probably know more than you are saying, I would feel good about it being Dusty May. Obviously, I don't think that decision is going to happen soon. Like, I don't think it's going to happen within like the next couple days or whatever, which means, as we have seen with the Michigan hiring and stuff like that, like shit can change real quick. So like the fact that like I'm hearing that now, and I don't actually expect Ohio State to hire a new coach for like several weeks, tells you that that could change a lot in several weeks. You know, we could end up hiring Scoony Penn. I don't fucking know. But for now, at this moment, I think I would predict that Dusty May would be Ohio State's next head coach, which is hilarious because the report that popped up on Twitter linking LeBron James to this decision is very funny to me.
Come on.
But if it's true, and I think there's a non-zero chance that it's true, and or at least has some truth to it, you say yes to that, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course you do. I think here's the thing. I don't, there's a lot of disagreement on Bryce, Bron's son, who is also mentioned in that report, that basically said Bryce would be at Ohio State no matter what. Obviously, you take Bryce because it has LeBron associated with your program.
Yeah,
that's
for
good.
Sure.
That's good for business. And he already is someone associated with Ohio State, but it increases that. That'd be nice. I also don't know, like I said, if Bryce is any good. There's a lot of disagreement on that in the scouting
report. Yeah, there is.
Early on, like when he was in eighth grade, it was like, oh, he's better than Bron. He's going to be bigger, yada, yada. And then he kind of hasn't grown. He's just like a 6'4 power forward. You'd like to see him get bigger.
Yeah.
You'd like to see him improve a bit.
Or change his skill set and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, whatever. You still take him no matter what. Right? Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Well, I think the thing is, I saw a lot, like, way more people reacting to that with, fuck LeBron. He shouldn't have anything. He should have nothing to do with Ohio State or who their head coach
is. Yeah,
that's
just like, politics freaks. Fuck them. Yeah.
It's stupid. Like, listen, you're telling me the best basketball planet or best basketball player on the planet, who is also a billionaire and probably one of the most influential people in all of sports, wants to pay my school millions of dollars for them to hire a coach that we already considering hiring.
Yeah.
Where do I sign? Like, what? And like, to the people being like, oh, well, then LeBron's going to be like meddling in Ohio State basketball. That's fine. If LeBron That's James, fine. if the best basketball player on the planet wants to cosplay as Ohio State basketball's GM, again, where do I sign? Go for it. That's fine.
Whoever's doing it currently isn't doing a good job.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's the thing, is the people who seem to think that Ohio State, whatever Ohio State's done on its own the past two decades, is better than whatever they would do with LeBron James's help. Like, what world, what planet are you on? Like, you sincerely trust the direction of Ohio State basketball more without LeBron James's help than with it? That's insane to me, especially in a world where like where money can simply just buy things. Like, I'm not saying that like it can't like, it's not the same level of football. There is football where you can just like assure yourself, you know, into the college football playoff, or like talent disparities matter in the same level, because you see how many games you have to win a national title in basketball. But like, simply giving me a roster that would give you like a top four seed in the NCAA tournament every year, like, yeah, I think money and exposure and stuff like that can do that. I think that's a realistic expectation, to be a top four seed in the NCAA tournament every year. Like, but I don't know.
For sure.
Yeah,
I'll take it no matter what. Also, just to kind of corroborate that report and what you've heard about Dusty May independently, there's two things out there. One I heard privately, one that's been reported, is that Indiana appears to be hiring, either it's going to hire Bruce Pearl or stay with Mike Woodson. They're not planning to hire Dusty May in this cycle. Basically, if they can't get Bruce Pearl, they're gonna stick with Mike Woodson.
Hilarious.
I think that's funny. I think it's very funny. Yeah. But it helps to know that Dusty May is available for Ohio State. Two is that I have a connection to the Xavier athletic department that is pretty insistent that Sean Miller might get an extension, is going to get an extension there this offseason. So it seems that Sean is staying at Xavier, and Ohio State really hasn't been that closely linked to any other coach. Like, Lamont Paris has had some buzz around him a little bit, but way less than Dusty. It does seem that they're closing in on Dusty as the clear top candidate, and I would not be surprised if he's hired in, I don't know, whenever the tournament's over.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I'm at. Again, like, other candidates could emerge or whatever. I'm not going to talk, like, I'm not going to like downplay anybody else's sourcing here, because I don't know what other people have heard about Sean Miller. I know that there were a couple people who like seemed to be relatively connected, or were pretty confident in their sourcing, that throughout Sean Miller is like the leading candidate or the front runner, really early on and stuff too. I don't know how much of that is like actual sourcing and how much of it is just like, it was so widely assumed that it wouldn't be hard for you to find somebody within the athletic program that would be like, oh yeah, Sean Miller's the front runner. You know, like,
yeah,
you hear what I'm saying? Like I don't know how much of it is like somebody really in the know coming out and like sourcing it, or like giving it to a source as like, Sean Miller's the front runner, versus like asking around and being like, oh, so you assume Sean Miller's going to be the front runner, and somebody being like, yeah, like obviously he is, you know, I don't know. It seems like it was more assumed that he would be a choice or the clear cut choice than really actually like actual reality or anything like that. Cause I just don't know. Like, he's actively, I guess Dusty May is actively coaching too. I don't know. I don't know. That seemed odd to me. I don't know how he could have emerged based on what I've heard and stuff like that. Like, I don't know how he would have been the front runner based on, I don't know. It seems like that was based around assumptions than actuality, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with that. It really does point towards Dusty May very strongly right now. I'm at the point where I'd say I would be very surprised if Dusty May was not Ohio State's coach by the end of April.
Yeah. No, that's where I'm at too. That's where I'm at too. So,
well, cool. I'm happy by it. I mean, are you? I'm pretty satisfied with
that. I am too. I think last week I was I've been able to talk myself into it, I guess, because I think I was less excited about it than you were last week. I would have said in order I wanted Sean Miller, Paris, or Dusty. Like those, that was kind of my order. And I'm coming more around to liking Dusty. I think he's, I don't know. It's a proven candidate. And from what I've heard too, the LeBron thing is probably not to the level that it was in the tweet in terms of like how much he's pulling strings behind the scenes or whatever. But LeBron James would support that hire and would be more active around Ohio State if that was the hire, and it would bring just a general level of excitement and stuff like that. Like, that's the vibe that I get. I don't think it's like you're not hiring LeBron James's best friend. Like, that's not exactly what this is. But I think especially in terms of people were saying that Ohio State should consider hiring Chris Gent because of his relationship with LeBron James.
Yeah.
And I think that Dusty May gets you that same thing. Whatever Chris Gent would have got you, Dusty May gives you a good coach and that like affinity from LeBron James too. So
yeah, which also, by the way, the why on that just appears to be that he is employed or his agent is with Clutch Sports.
Hilarious. That does seem to be why. Which also completely checks out.
Definitely isn't running Clutch Sports. By the way, it's definitely not breaking the NBA rule about his involvement in agency.
Yep.
No chance.
Yeah. No chance at all. No, I think that's the funniest part is it's like that perfectly, like people being like, wait, that's it. Like that's as strong as the connection is. Like, don't seem to understand LeBron, the businessman sort of thing too. Like LeBron would kill to have somebody who is definitely not in his control or in his connection running the program that he is a notable fan of. So I don't know. It's just funny.
Also, one more thing for context on Dusty May. He's in his sixth year at FAU. I just want to point this out real quick, his resume. They had 26 years before he got there as a Division I program and had 5 winning seasons overall in 1 NCAA tournament appearance, which came in 2001. In his 6 years at FAU, they have 6 winning seasons and a Final Four and are very likely a tournament team this year. He's going to double up their tournament appearances and have more winning seasons in 6 years than the program had in 26 years. He also made a fucking Final Four in FAU.
Yeah.
I think he is an excellent coach. The biggest concern around him, right, is just like, look, it seems like Indiana's probably going to hire Bruce Pearl. It's also his alma mater. You know, what if he goes home in a couple of years? Like, what if Bruce Pearl doesn't work there? And then they take
cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. That's a problem I'd worry about later. If you have a really good coach at a top 25 program and you lose him to a top 10 program in terms of resources,
it is what it is.
It means you succeeded.
Yep. But I think the other thing is I'm not sure that at this point, based on what Indiana has done in the recent history, I'm not sure Indiana has the resources like that are that different than what Ohio State does to spend on like a men's basketball coach. Obviously there's the whole like, I don't know. There's the whole, like, it's his alma mater, whatever too, but it could quickly, I'm not going to make this suggestion because it's an audacious thing to like, or an audacious like expectation or whatever, but it's like Dabo with Alabama. Like, if he came to Clemson and built obviously it kind of circled around to the point that Dabo wasn't even an option at Alabama when Saban was gone. But like, say Dusty May comes to Ohio State, builds a successful program, and like it has things clicking at a very good program in his first like 3 years or so, then Indiana fires a coach and gives him a call. There's a solid chance that based on what he's already built at Ohio State, he's like, no, I don't want to come start over at Indiana when I already have this going for me, you know, like
right.
that's entirely possible. So I just want to get Ohio State in early. And if Indiana decides in 3 years that they fucked up hiring Bruce Pearl, which come on.
And also, at what point does Indiana basketball become like, I don't want to call it Nebraska, but maybe call it like Notre Dame, where it's like, could you actually win a title there in the modern era? Like, right. You know, is that, I probably, yes, it's basketball, but like since Bob Knight left the last 24 years, they have three Sweet 16s and one NCAA runner-up, which happened in 2001. It's in the last 22 years, they have three Sweet 16s and that's it.
Yep.
They missed the tournament about as often as they made it after that runner-up season.
In my lifetime, Ohio State has been decidedly a better basketball program than Indiana has. It hasn't even really been close.
Yeah.
The only year I can think of that Indiana was like fun, at least, was that Victor Oladipo year.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at it here. If they miss the tournament this year, which seems very likely, right? They're almost certainly not making the
tournament. Yep.
Indiana will have missed the tournament more often than they made it since their runner-up season in 2000.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's look, I understand the resources they have there, but I don't need to respect Indiana. No one's going to make me.
Right. No, I completely get it. It's like if you until you prove yourself, like what are you doing? I don't care about your name brand or whatever if you're not doing anything with it. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like I understand he's an alum or whatever, and I would be nervous. I would be nervous if Ohio State was bidding against Indiana this season, that Dusty May might, you know, all else equal, go to Indiana. But
yeah,
like,
real modern, yeah.
If you're telling me, if you give him like 3 years to set something up in Columbus, and then Indiana comes calling, I think it's going to be a tough sell. I don't know if you're going to be able to pry him away from Columbus if he has things going. Just to go rebuild in Indiana again. Like that would be tough for me. It would be the same thing as like trying to pry, Dabo Sweeney out of Clemson after and obviously Dabo won like national titles and stuff like that. But you just don't know, like things could go bad. Your rebuild could go bad and you're in a worse situation. Even if you're at your alma mater, like you just don't know. But, yeah. And so all that to say, I think it'll be Dusty May. I think Dusty May will be Ohio State's next head coach. And if Indiana wants to try to hire him away in 2 or 3 years, it is what it is. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kevin, let's go to the premium episode. We're going to get out of here and we will see all of our subscribers on the premium. And for the rest of you freeloaders, subscribe to me at midfield.com and come listen.
Sounds good. See you in a second.